that he fell down on the job. One of the things I do want to mention, I think Fran kind of started this not too long ago, and she said, "What can I do?" Okay, Fran's in a wheelchair, and so she's not, can't drive, because a lot of things she can't do, and so we got started there, and it's becoming even more of a journey, and we've been asked, or I have been asked in Jamaica to present some lessons on church growth, and one of those areas is, what can our elderly members do, and those that are infirmed in some way, what can they do in the work of the church? Because just because we don't have the health that we once did doesn't mean we can't be very active. And so I have given this assignment to, I know Denny, I told him to spend some time on it, and Fran, and I'm going to give you all this assignment because I think it's a very underutilized part of the church. When we get older, or when we have some kind of a handicap or disability that slows us down, there is still so much that we can do to boost and build the church. And so I want you to start making it a part of your everyday life to be thinking about different things that those with less mobility can do to build the church. A lot of these little things that have been coming up, these are ideas and work that have been put together. The Halloween bags that went out, they were put together by ideas of some and the work of several. And so there's a lot that we can do, and all of these things can be good and bring about good. We want to spread the gospel, and that is our job and our responsibility. Okay, today is a suggestion, but Dorothy complains a lot of times. She says, "You never give my suggestions," which she doesn't understand. She has a lot of suggestions that I take. She just doesn't put them in the box. And so the lesson today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. And so as I looked at that passage, I'm thinking, how do I do this in such a short period of time? And so consequently, I'm going to have a lot of scriptures to try to get through this morning and this afternoon. But I want you to do your best to follow along. And with this kind of a lesson, sometimes we can kind of get a little bit lost in the understanding when I've got so many things going on. But I want you to bear with me. I want you to try to follow closely. Look in your scriptures. Look in the Bible as we go along. And let's look at these things, because there are about five different sections, or about six, I believe, that are important things that about the manifestation of the Son of God. Jesus is the reason for every day of life, guys. And Him coming to the earth was, as it states here, the mystery. The mystery of godliness. It was a plan that started out before the foundation of the world. John mentioned God's plan. And God did have it planned out. And part of His plan was He knew that we weren't going to be obedient. He knew that you and I would be weak and we would need a Savior. And so God determined that He would send Jesus to the earth to provide a means of salvation from our sins. Now, as we look at this, we need to recognize that I'm going to define a mystery first. Okay? So a mystery means a hidden thing, a secret thing, or a mystery. Something that we do not know about. Now, as we look at this, we're going to recognize that this mystery has now been revealed. But from the time of the beginning of the creation until Jesus actually came and that was revealed, it was a mystery. They didn't know, what is the plan? What does it mean? How do you figure it out? And the mystery of godliness is revealed in Jesus Christ. And so as we look at this, I want to go to Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. And we want to establish a couple things here as we begin this lesson. In Romans 16 and verse 25, it says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." all these prophets, these angels, these people in authority, they looked into the Old Testament. They were trying to figure out, what does it mean? You and me? It doesn't need to be hid. We can know and understand because it has been revealed. But back then, guys, they did not have that opportunity. You and I are blessed to be able to live in this time in which we live, where we can know that mystery. And then in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, "Is having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." And so God made known to us the mystery of His will. And it's about Jesus. It's about the forgiveness of sin and that opportunity for you and I to find a home in heaven. And we have now have that mystery revealed. The mystery tells us how to live, how to work, how to access that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. That blood that He shed down in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, or rather verse 7. It says, "In whom," talking about in Jesus, all right, "in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." So when we're in Jesus, we can have redemption. Now, guys, this is what redemption is. When you sin, you sell your soul to Satan. That's what you do. Jesus died on the cross, and through His blood, He can buy us back. The purchase price for your soul is pretty steep. It was the blood of Jesus. The redemption is a buying back, and actually, He's buying back something that was already His. But we sold our soul to the devil when we sinned. Now, God knew that. He knew that we would be weak. He knew that we would sin and that we would need that redemption. But He provided for that. You need to think about that blessing. That is quite amazing. As we look at our own weaknesses and our own failings, God cares enough to send His Son. I don't think anybody here would give up their son for somebody that spit in their face. But when we sinned against God, He gave His Son so that we can be saved. So that we can be bought back from Satan. And so that was a great mystery. But that mystery is now revealed. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to look at these things as some things in Jesus that are so very important. So let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want to read this aspect of this mystery. It says in 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Notice that two dots after godliness. That means that an explanation is going to follow. So what's the explanation of the mystery of godliness? Well, it is God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified in the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached to the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world and received up into glory. So we're going to look at Jesus today. And we're going to study some things about Him that I hope will help us to understand the mystery even more and to gain a greater appreciation for what Jesus has done for us, which my desire is that helps you and me to be more determined to live for God after we hear these things. And so as we begin, we're going to look at the aspect that God was manifested in the flesh. When we look at God, the creator of the universe, He's the one that made all this. He's the one that put it into motion. And He's the one that is still in very much in control. And so God was manifested in the flesh. In other words, He left heaven and He came here. Can you imagine putting yourself in the same situation of something that you made? That's hard to imagine. But that's what God has done. And so as we look at this, I want to go back to Isaiah to begin with and look at this prophecy about Jesus and Him coming. And so this helps us to see that God had this in His plan. It was a mystery. They didn't understand it. They were confused about it. But now we can understand. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Now, when we look at that in the English, that doesn't necessarily have a lot of meaning. You know, what's in a name? Okay, Fred. Well, okay, we know Fred, but what does that mean? Okay, well, in the Hebrew, like today, names had meanings. And so, you may not know the meaning of your name, but there is a definition for your name. There is a definition for the word Emmanuel, and it just simply means God with us. And so this prophecy about Jesus coming and calling Him Emmanuel was a prophecy that talks about God being with us. God left heaven, He came to earth, and He lived as a man, shoulder to shoulder with everybody else. Can you imagine it? But that was Jesus. You see, Jesus was manifested in the flesh. And we go to John chapter 1 and notice this passage here. It shows that He came. And it shows that He was God. Beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word." Now, we'll have to follow through down through verse 14 to really understand that the Word is Jesus. But that's what it's talking about. And so as in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so all things were made by Him, or by the Word, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, you notice how it states here, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We may not understand that, but honestly, you don't need to. We need to look at God in belief. And comprehension and understanding. Not totally understand how all that can be. How can God be in heaven and send His Son, but still be God? Don't ask me. But I tell you what, I know the Bible's truth. Okay? And so the Bible teaches us God's will. We might not understand some of those things, but we don't need to. But the fact of the matter is, when Jesus came to earth, God was here. And we see more scriptures. Notice down in verse 14, it helps us to see that. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word, Jesus, became flesh. But notice what Jesus was full of. Grace. And truth. Guys, we need to recognize the greatness of Jesus. Grace is something that we definitely need. We need the grace of God in our lives. You can't find salvation without His grace. We sinned. We're the ones that crossed the barrier. We're the ones that made ourselves not worthy. But God gives grace when we don't deserve it. And that is Jesus. Jesus is that grace. Jesus is that mercy that God extends for you and I. But He left heaven and He came here. He was manifested in the flesh. In John chapter 14 and verse 9, the passage says, Jesus says unto him, "Have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" Thomas had a challenging question there. He said, "Jesus, we need to see the Father. Where is He at?" Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Great is the mystery of godliness. Jesus had to come to this earth to live as a man and to die on the cross for us to be able to be like God. For us to find salvation and to be able to be godly. We need to respect that in that mystery. The second thing that we will look at is justified in the Spirit. There's a lot of things involved in this, and we talked about the Holy Spirit and the things that were involved there here a few weeks ago. And there's a lot of things we don't understand. We can only tie into what we can. But we need to recognize that Jesus, according to the mystery of godliness, was justified in the Spirit. Now, this word justify means to show or exhibit to be righteous. And so, Jesus was shown to be righteous in the Spirit. And I believe that this here is talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't believe it's talking about his attitude or anything like that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is most likely what's involved here. Because we see the Holy Spirit involved in numerous things in his life. And so we'll look at those as we go. But notice that justified is to be shown to be righteous. And Jesus was shown to be righteous in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at these things, let's go back to look at a couple passages where we see the Spirit interacting in Jesus' life. And so Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, we're at the baptism of Jesus. Now, John the baptizer was baptizing, and Jesus came to be baptized of him. And of course, John's saying, "You're the Son of God. You need to baptize me." And said, "No, we need to fulfill all righteousness." You know what that means? That means God said, "Do it, we're going to do it." Jesus didn't have any sin. He didn't need to be baptized other than the fact that God said they had to be baptized. It's a baptism of repentance. And so he was fulfilling all godliness by obeying what God said. And so at any rate, we see when Jesus came back up out of the water from being baptized, in verse 16, it says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him." What an amazing manifestation. The Holy Spirit descended like that dove, and it lighted on Jesus. Now, as we study, we'll learn too that John was told that whoever the Spirit descends on and remains, that's the one that is to follow you. That's the Christ. And so he was told by that, by the one that told him to go. Probably an angel. We don't know who told John to go. But at any rate, John recognized that. And so notice that he was justified in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit descended and lighted on Jesus. But there's more. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Now this is a passage. It's going to involve both Jesus, but it also involves you and I today. And so I think we need to see this. The whole chapter of Romans chapter 8 is talking about walking after the Spirit. And in verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, you know, guys, this is a pretty important aspect about our life today. All right? Now, it's exemplified in Jesus' life. But what it's saying is, if you are a child of God, you're led by the Spirit. The Spirit revealed the will of God. You go back to verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And so, the way we walk, the things we do, are they in agreement with what the Spirit has revealed in the pages of the New Testament? If we're son of God, we're doing our best to follow it. Okay? And you know, if we choose to not follow God, then we've got a problem there. Well, what is neat is that Jesus was that perfect example, and he showed us what following God is all about. We recognize that he came to do the will of the Father. We recognize that he didn't want to go to the cross, but it was God's will that he did, and he went to the cross. I'm glad that, at least in this day and age, we don't have to suffer that. He asked us to be kind, to follow his will and to do good and to try to win the lost and those things. But, you know, in this day and age, it might change tomorrow, but we're not called to die. Die to self, yes. Serve him, yes. Guys, let's make sure that we walk after the Spirit like Jesus did. Jesus followed God's will. Jesus was justified in the Holy Spirit in that he obeyed the Spirit's will. He obeyed God's will. Well, Jesus was also justified in the Spirit in that he performed miracles. In John chapter 3, we recognize the power of God at this particular time that was shown in the ability of some to perform miracles. And we can look at many other passages. We'll probably save all of those for another lesson. But in John 3 and verse 2, it says, talking about Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." When Jesus performed miracles, he was showing that the Spirit of God was working through him. Now, these religious leaders that were trying to stomp on Jesus and stop him from teaching, they recognized that. That's amazing. But the fact that Jesus performed those miracles shows that he was made righteous in the Spirit. The Spirit allowed him and gave him that ability to do that. Exactly how all of that tacks with him being God, I don't know. I don't understand that, but I know that he was proven to be from God by those miracles. And so we need to keep that in mind as we go forward. You know, he was God's son. And if he was God's son, you and me need to listen. Even when we don't want to. And that's hard sometimes. How many of us do not have challenges in life that it's hard to obey? Okay? I know that all of us do. We've got issues. We've got things, been problems. But you know what? It's kind of neat. We talked about it in Bible class. The things that God tells us that we have to do, all it does is makes us have a better life. Now, we all want a better life, right? Anybody here want a better life? I want a better life. Okay? And so, consequently, if I follow God, I know that that will help me to have that better life. And so, Jesus was justified in the Spirit through the miracles that he performed. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18... 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we see the fact that he came back from the dead. He arose out of the grave, shows that he was justified in the Spirit. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Here again, I believe the Holy Spirit quickened him. Now, the reason he was quickened, because he never sinned. Death couldn't hold Jesus. But the very fact of the matter is that the Spirit was that which quickened him and made him alive. I don't understand it. I don't need to. All I know is that God said it. And so, by the Spirit bringing Jesus back to life, he was justified. The mystery of godliness is revealed in Jesus coming back from the tomb. I want to follow him. I want to be on his side. What a mystery. What a great thing. Jesus came back from that tomb and went forward back into heaven. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 32, we see on this great sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says, "This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all our witnesses." Now I'm going to tell you something. There were a lot of people that saw Jesus. They saw Him alive after they saw Him die on the cross. They knew when they saw Him. At first, they knew something was strange, and when they got to talk to Him, they knew good and well who it was. They knew. Jesus raised from the dead. And if anybody could have proven that it wasn't true, I'll guarantee you, we wouldn't have what we have today. Because they tried. There was no proof because Jesus rose. Beginning in verse 3 now. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear." In other words, this Spirit descending on these apostles, giving them ability to speak in tongues, shows that this was God. And this showed came by God. This was part of that promise of the Holy Spirit. Continuing, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool.'" When Jesus was received back up into heaven, it proved that He was the Son of God. It was the justification in the Spirit. We do not understand a lot of those things, but we can know they're true. I want to follow that. That's part of the mystery that was not known, not understood. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, just a couple pages back. Jesus was justified in the Spirit. As He speaks to His apostles, He's talking to them about the Holy Spirit that was going to come and teach them everything that He had told them and guide them into all truth. It says in verse 26, "But when the Comforter is come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me." As we look at this, we recognize that the Holy Spirit, in delivering the word to these apostles, shows that this was Jesus. The Bible is the most critiqued and criticized book that there has ever been. But as the Holy Spirit revealed it to these apostles, and they wrote it down and it was preserved, it's never been able to be proven or even questioned logically and realistically as true. The Spirit justifies Jesus. There is no book that has received as much criticism as this. The Holy Spirit delivered it. It proves that He is Jesus. It shows that this mystery revealed is an amazing thing that's for you and me to enjoy. How much does that mystery really mean to you? How important is that mystery in your life? You know, I hope that it's a very important part of your life. I hope that as you see this great opportunity that you have to actually recognize and be a part of the recipients of that mystery, should create in you a great desire to make sure that you live your life for God. To make sure that you work at being obedient to the things that He says. To make you have a greater desire to look into His Word and find out how should we live. To please Him. Not to mention the blessings that come in life that just come from obeying what he says. We bring so many things on ourselves because we don't want to look at what God says. We don't want to follow what God says. And we create so many problems. This mystery has been revealed. You're blessed to be able to understand it. But it requires action on your part. You know, we talked about works this morning in Bible class, and we were looking at works in the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus that saves us. But Jesus has told us through His Word that there are things we must do to contact the blood that He shed on the cross. They begin with reading and studying the Word of God so we get that faith. You won't have faith without reading and understanding God's Word. That doesn't mean you'll understand it all. But it does mean you won't have it without it. You got to know. You got to understand. You got to work on it. And so God tells us that we've got to read and study. God tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that you can't please Him without faith. So those are works that you have to do. But the problem is you read and study and you find out you need to change. I really don't think there's too many here that really want to change. We get kind of stubborn. You know? We like Burger King. We want it our way. But you know, the Bible tells us things we need to do, and that's where repentance comes in. You have to change your life. If there's sin in your life, you got to get rid of it. If you're not a part of what God says and the way that He says, you need to change that. That's repentance. That's giving in to God and changing your life. Those are things that Jesus says we got to do to contact His blood. He tells us that we must confess that He is the Son of God. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. He's the Son of God, guys. His Father made it all. He made this world. He gave you life. You think He doesn't have the right to tell you what to do? He does. And when you acknowledge that, you're saying He's got a right to boss me around. And I want Him to boss me because I've had a lot of bosses in my life, but none like Him. Because everything He tells me is good for me. That's the right one to have, isn't it? I like it. Then He tells us that baptism saves us and that we must be baptized for the remission of sins in Acts 2 and verse 38. These are things that He tells us. This is what we do to please Him and to contact His blood. And then we get up and live for Him with all we've got. Go forward. You get to see the mystery. You get to understand it. And there's responsibility that comes with it. Are you giving in to the responsibility that comes with this mystery that's been revealed? If not, you need to make it right. You need to do it now while we stand and sing.